Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Back to 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure. I'm Jim Blasingame. This is the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Chris Carosa is here. Chris has become a great member of our Brain Trust over the last 5 years. President of Carosa Stanton Asset Management, LLC, certified trust and financial advisor, author of a bunch of books, including From Cradle to Retirement, including Hamburger Dreams. And there's also one about pizza, believe it or not. He's a man after my own heart. He likes food. He's our good friend, Chris. Welcome back.
Hey, good morning, Jim.
It's good to have you back, Chris. So what does a hamburger have to do with this coronavirus wormhole we're being squeezed through right now?
Well, as you may or may not know, last Thursday was National Hamburger Day. And I've been all over the country telling this story, and it does have a sort of a business entrepreneurial bent to it.
Yeah.
There's different competing stories about who made the first hamburger. But central to these stories is this fact. Something happened, the market demanded a change, and people were able to come up and, you know, address that void in the market. For example, the story that's most likely to be true, The two brothers, Frank and Charles Menches, ran out of pork sausage, which is what they sold at their carnival events, and the butcher wouldn't sell them more pork, so they sold them ground beef instead, and necessity is the mother of invention. Mm-hmm. Voila, you have the first hamburger being sold. And that's the idea.
When and where was that? Remind us.
That was, actually, I actually know the date and the place. It's September 18th. 1885, at the Erie County Fair outside of Buffalo, New York.
Yeah. All right. So that was 135 years ago. That's the story. But didn't it already happen earlier though? I mean, why would it be called hamburger?
Well, it was so a lot of people get it confused with Hamburg steak, which is a different type of entree.
Yeah.
This is a sandwich of ground beef patty. I mean, we all know what a hamburger looks like now, but back then nobody did, and it was totally new. And the way the name came about is actually more interesting. It was the Erie County Fair outside of Buffalo, New York. It had originally been in the city of Buffalo, New York, but it grew too large, so it had to move to neighboring towns, and each of the towns would take turns hosting it before it eventually settled on a particular town, and it became known in shorthand as that town's fair. Mm-hmm. The name of the town, Hamburg, New York. So there was a sign that said Hamburg Fair. And somebody asked Frank Bench, hey, this sandwich is pretty good. What do you call it? And he looked up at the sign and he said, I call it a Hamburg sandwich.
And that's the story and we're people sticking think to.
Yeah, people think that's cute. But in the research that I did in the book, it turned out that that nomenclature, that naming convention, was contemporary for the 1885 era. There was a story out of the 1885 newspaper that I read about that particular fair involving cheese. Somebody cheese went up to the vendor, said, "What is it called?" And he says, "Well, it's called Hamburg cheese." So this is really interesting.
And you know, the story about the pork and the beef makes sense because there've been sausage grinders for years. There've been sausage, you know, you put the meat into the top and you grind it and it comes out, it squeezes through holes, it basically extruded through holes in the bottom for sausage. You've been doing that for centuries. I don't know of anything like that was made for beef. It was all about pork or maybe lamb, I don't know, but it was mostly about pork. So it makes sense that if you put beef through something like that to create a hamburger, that's probably, you know, as you say, they didn't have pork, so they had beef. So why should we care about that story today?
Well, I think the story is instructive because it just gives you the sense of opportunities always being out there where you least expect them. You know, here's another key point about this story. There's no smoking gun. Nobody had a camera and took a selfie the day the picture was made, or the day the hamburger was made. So we can't really anticipate when these opportunities arise, but we should always be prepared for them.
I heard a story a couple weeks ago about a restaurant owner who shifted and started doing his food differently, delivery and you know, different ways of finding out what his customers wanted. And now that restaurant owner has decided that not only did doing that save his business, but this is the way he's going to do it from now on. It's easier and it makes him more money.
I think that's an example of how we see corona entrepreneurs, coronavirus entrepreneurs, adapting or changing their business models to suit what the market is demanding immediately. It's restaurants have been going from sit down to takeout, and businesses have been going from, say, even people in the office to working with people outside of the office. There's a lot of these subtle things that are going on. We see it within even major companies like Zoom. In January, how many people heard of Zoom? Now we can't get it out of our mind.
Right.
So this is what I mean about opportunities arising when we don't necessarily expect it.
Well, look at how and look at how the home-based remote working thing is going to be taken off from now on. And look at but now one thing to point out, though, we have to point this out, Chris, you could be on the wrong end of something like this, right? I mean,
I mean,
think about the people who are in the commercial office business. Their world is going to change, and I fear not for the better going forward. You could be on the wrong end of one of these deals, so you got to prepare for that too, right?
Oh, yeah. That's what I mean about changing business models. You've got to really reflect on what your business model is doing and whether or not it is in sync with what the market is demanding, what the times are demanding. With the coronavirus, we have office space. We have mass transit, travel, a lot of those sort of, you know, big events with a lot of people close. Now, you know, maybe or maybe not, that's going to stay the same. We don't know. But at least right now, those things have changed. You know, I'll give you an example.
Hold on to that thought, Chris. I'm going to let you give us that example after the break. But one of the things I wanted to point out before we go for this next break, the word to think about, the word to have in your head is implications. When futurists think about what's going on around them, they try to identify the implications. Okay, I see that happening right there. I see that happening over there. When those two things intersect in the future, what are the implications? What could that happen when those two? That's the way you want to look at your business, your customers, your marketplace, your vendors, everything. 20 after, right back with Chris Carosa.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.